mentally tough, mentally strong? Are you? Do you want to be? Do you need to be? If you are a parent, a teacher, a boss, a leader, a coach, do you have any other option than having a mentally tough and strong brain? And if the world is throwing challenges at you, problems at you, things that need to have solutions found for them, and do you have people relying on you to be tough and strong in tough situations? If you're not mentally tough and strong now, can you become mentally tough and strong? Great question. Like the human body or muscle in the human body that gets weak and wastes away if you don't use it, is the brain the same? And like muscle, if you strengthen it, if you overload it, if you put it under pressure, is it possible that your brain, given the same opportunity, can become mentally tough and strong? Again, great question. So what is the brain-mind connection, and what are the things that we could do to become mentally tough and strong, if that's something that's important to you? And the brain scientists, the neuroscientists, the psychologists and psychiatrists all suggest the same thing, and so do the cardiologists, the oncologists, the endocrinologists, the exercise physiologists, doesn't matter which ologist you can think of, they all suggest the same thing, that for the human body to work effectively, it needs to be fit and strong. And if we are fit and strong, then every system in our body will work more effectively, including our brain, our central nervous system, our endocrine system, all of the things that fire our body up. So to get fit and to get strong, there's no argument whether it's mentally or physically. It's been suggested that we have to force the brain to change, force the body to change. So if you keep doing the same thing that your body's capable of doing, if you keep doing the same thing that your brain's capable of doing, what would force it to get better or stronger or tougher or wiser or more intelligent? All the things that we need our body and brain to be, is it possible that can only happen if we put our body under intense pressure, we put our brain under intense pressure, we force it to change? So a couple of examples. If you keep thinking the same thoughts every day and you're not challenging your brain, is it possible that your brain just remains the same, or worse, rots away because you're not forcing it to do anything different than it did yesterday? Same as the human body. If you just lie it on the couch and it doesn't do anything, there's no reason for it to stay fit, no reason for it to stay strong, no reason for muscles to stay even on your body. They'll actually waste away. Your muscles will get smaller and you'll get weaker because you're not doing anything. So there's that great quote, if you don't use it, you will lose it. I like the opposite. If you use it, you won't lose it. Ha! So what do we need to do to be mentally tough and strong? Is it the same as being physically tough and strong? And is there a connection? Does the body drive the brain, or does the brain drive the body? So here are some great things to consider. Number one, if you've got to put your body under intense pressure for it to change, number one question, when was the last time you got really puffed? Not did some exercise, not went for a walk, not went to the gym, not did some kind of physical activity, but you did something that forced your heart and lungs to work at maximum capacity. You got really puffed. So your max heart rate is 220 minus your age, so it's really easy to test. When was the last time you got so puffed you could hardly breathe? That kind of puffed. And the suggestion of that being so important is, how do your heart and lungs get fit if you don't put them under intense pressure? So once again, if you just go for a walk and you're not getting puffed. Now, there are some people that can walk and get really puffed. Might be that a person is overweight or they're really weak. So a walk from the lounge to the fridge, for example, might be extremely taxing on their body and they get puffed. That's awesome, because that forces a change. But if you're not getting really puffed, there's no way that your body will need to get fitter. So when was the last time you got really puffed? And what's the connection between being physically fit? Because obviously to get fit, you've got to get puffed. And if you get puffed, The test of fitness is really simple. One is that you can push to that maximum heart rate. Number two is that you recover really quickly from that maximum heart rate. And number three is that you have a slow resting heart rate. That will share that you're really fit. And easy to test your fitness because get puffed. How long does it take you to recover? And then if you take a heart rate from being 80 at resting to 60 at resting to 55 at resting, obviously you're getting fitter. Now, the connection with the brain, of course, is that the ability to puff, the ability to push your body to the point where it overloads its cardiovascular and respiratory system, that requires the central nervous system to fire up because that's the electrical system, of course. The endocrine system has to fire up so that everything can get moving. The hormones, the chemicals that allow the human body to sprint, to get puffed, epinephrine and adrenaline, they are the two, the chemicals that not just get us to move, but then they also produce endorphins, which is the pain-killing drug so that we can move harder. And once we've produced those groups of movement drugs, then we produce chemicals, neurotransmitters, happy drugs in our brain. Of course, there's serotonin satisfaction drug, dopamine reward drug, but the most important one is brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is a fertilizer for your brain. So does your body drive your brain? There's a great example that that could be possible, yeah? Because when you get really puffed, you then pump fertilizer into your brain so that you can actually change your brain. Neuroplasticity means that you can think differently, you can look at something differently, you can be more creative because your brain is capable of changing. And that happens when you sprint really hard, push those neurotransmitters into your brain, or your brain produces its own neurotransmitters, and most importantly, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is fertilizer for your brain. So to get a different brain, you've got to get really puffed. Haha. So number one, when was the last time you got really puffed? How often do you get puffed? And are you forcing those chemicals into your brain that will then produce fertilizer for your brain so your brain can stay healthy, fit and strong, and or get healthier, fitter and stronger? The next one though is, when was the last time you lifted something really heavy and overloaded all the muscles and bones, endocrine system, central nervous system in your body? You overcame a weight. And not just lifting something once, not just going to the gym and moving weights around, not doing reps and sets, but actually pushing all the muscles and bones in your body to the point where they can't do any more. Some people would call that to peak physical performance. Lifting something so heavy that your body goes, wow, this is really hard. And then this is really, really hard. And then to the point where you literally can't do another one. Your body is incapable of doing another one of those exercises. You can't do another repetition. You can't push out one more exercise. When was the last time you did that? And I'm going to ask the question again, not just go and lift something once or many times over and over, but to the point where you couldn't do it anymore. And the big reason for brain strength, brain toughness, and the connection between mental health and physical health, mental strength and physical strength, is the neuroscientists will suggest that every time we do more than we think we can, we force our brain to get stronger. It again produces those neurotransmitters that say, hey, I didn't think I could do this, and I did it. So we have neuroplasticity. We have a change in our brain's thinking patterns because we've overcome something that we didn't think we could do. The reverse of that, if every time you come up against a challenge, you, and I'm going to use strength training as an example, if you can lift a certain weight and you can do more, but you stop before you've reached that full potential, that peak capacity, that's then telling the brain that it's okay to just do enough to get by. We're not forcing any change in the brain. Now, we're not going to get a change in our physical strength either because we haven't overcome a load. The only way to get stronger physically is to overload your muscles and bones. And the only way to get a strong brain is to overload your brains. Again, feel that connection, and you can actually feel it. Because obviously when you think you can only do 11 or 12 of something and you do 13, 14 or 15, you might only do 12 and a half, half more than you thought you could do. But that forces your brain to think differently because you thought that you couldn't and now you can. And the really interesting thing to be aware of there is all of the neuroscientists are suggesting, all of them, that our brain is the connection physically that stops us from going any harder. It's not that we can't go harder physically, but if our brain thinks that we can't, it will actually stop us. It'll say, you can't go any further. It's all too hard because it's never been there before. But when you physically push your body through that point, now you're telling your own brain what you're capable of. You're changing your brain. Neuroplasticity means you think differently. You can create a different pattern in your brain because you forced it to happen. And of course, that doesn't come from doing something easy. That comes from doing something hard. So again, when was the last time you got really puffed? Number two, when was the last time you lifted something and you kept lifting it until you couldn't do any more, and then you did half or one more or one more or two more, and you kept physically going till your body was incapable of doing any more? So get puffed to force your brain to change. Get strong or lift heavy to force your brain to change. So when was the last time you got puffed, and when was the last time you lifted something to the point where you couldn't lift it anymore? Number three is a long-term endurance mental toughness test. So yes, again, physically, but if I use something like a marathon or an Ironman or a long-distance hike or climbing a mountain or something that takes a long time and requires a large amount of physical effort, yes, but more importantly, mental effort. So for example, yes, I've done 21 marathons, and people say to me, Rowie, why? You obviously can run marathon. Why did you do 21 of them? And the point is, I wanted to test my mental toughness. Yes, I was fit enough. Everybody's fit enough, by the way, to move their body over 42.2 kilometers. You can train yourself physically to be able to walk 42.2 kilometers. You can train yourself to run 42.2 kilometers. But there's going to come a time, if you're pushing yourself through that event, that it's going to get hard, really hard, and technically not physically hard, because it's not like you run marathon puffing the whole way. That's not what happens in a marathon run, because it's a long distance endurance event. Most people will share with you that marathon is all about mental toughness. Am I mentally tough enough to push my body across 42.2 kilometers? Now, you don't know that you are mentally tough enough to do it until you actually do it. But it's never going to be easy, because even the best in the world, the people that run marathon under 3 hours, no one's doing it under 2 hours yet. Just about two, I think, is the world record. Those people are pushing the whole way. They're pushing really hard because they want to get better and better and better. And that's called mental toughness as much as physical endurance. So a great question to ask is, what am I doing on a reasonably regular basis to push my body both physically and mentally at the same time, to test my mental endurance and my physical endurance? And it's interesting, because now there's a lot of bosses and managers and leaders and parents and teachers and coaches and exercise professionals who are choosing to do mentally tough events, some kind of endurance event where you have to push your body both mentally and physically really hard. Now, obviously, when you complete an event like that, you have a brain change. Yes, it's good for your physical well-being, and yes, you'll have to get fit and strong to be able to do it. But the mental toughness that comes from overcoming something that you didn't think you could do. Great question to ask. Why do people do a 5K fun run and then a 10K fun run, and they do a half marathon and then they do a full marathon and then they do ultra marathons or Ironman? Are they aiming to do 100 kilometers or 200 kilometers, or they ride their bike for 300 kilometers? Because their brain's changed. Obviously, if you could only do 5 kilometer fun run, you thought that's all you could do. You thought your brain strength was only strong enough for a 5 kilometer run. But once you've done five, your brain now knows that you can do five. So to get tougher and stronger mentally, now I've got to test myself with something harder. So, okay, let's do 10. I've done that now. I've changed my brain. I'm now capable of 10. Let's do 20. And I remember the first time I considered doing a full marathon, I had done 17 half marathons. And I remember thinking at the end of every half marathon, how on earth would you go and do that again? And interestingly, I was challenged. Somebody said to me that I was too big to do a full marathon. I was too muscular and too large in size to do any kind of marathon well. So I took that challenge on. And interestingly, once you've done that kind of mental toughness training, It almost becomes enjoyable. If you think that doing something hard and tough is really hard and you're going to hate it, and then you go out and do it and you actually love it, can you imagine that that changes your brain? So number one, how often are you getting puffed and when was the last time you got puffed? Number two, are you lifting some really heavy stuff, moving stuff around until you can't do it anymore? Obviously safely and most importantly, using all the muscles and bones in your body at the same time so you fire up the endocrine system and the central nervous system to peak performance. Then what are you doing on a regular basis if you want to be mentally tough and strong to get your body and your brain overcoming big physical challenges? Endurance events are really a great test of mental and physical endurance. Haha. Next question. The brain itself. How do you force it to get tougher and stronger? Yes, physically we'll do it from the body to the brain, but what about the brain to the body? How can you make the brain cells stronger, the connections stronger, the neuroplasticity happening so that your brain actually becomes stronger to believe that you can do physical activity? And that's that brain-body connection. So some great questions. Are you overcoming big challenges? If a challenge comes up and you ask somebody else to help you, to give you advice, to fix it for you, to make it better, is it possible that your brain now can just relax and take it easy because you're passing that responsibility onto somebody else? I was taught at a very young age and I'm so privileged. If you want to achieve something, there are people that will help you. But don't go and ask for help until you've done everything you possibly can yourself. All the study, all the research, aim to raise all the money. You've done everything you possibly can. And if you still need help, that's when you ask for it. Not, oh, I've got this great idea. Let's get somebody to help me. Because what does that do for your brain? If you're not forcing your brain to find solutions, overcome challenges, do new things, why would it get stronger? So if you have a problem, be the person who finds the solution. If you have a challenge, whether it's with work or with sport or with a relationship or finances, what are you doing to think differently? One of the big challenges I shared before, the neuroscientists suggest that most people think every day, but they think the same thing that they thought yesterday. So their brain doesn't have to change because it's just thinking the same thing over and over. I use that example again. If you just do the same exercise over and over and you're not getting puffed and you're not lifting heavy, you won't get fitter and you won't get stronger. So to get mentally tougher, you have to force your brain to think differently. So if you're in business, the best in the world will share this. Even if your business is going well, the best in the world are aiming to get better. So even if they've got the best reputation, the best brand recognition, they're still looking at their business every day. How can we make it better? And of course, what does that do for your brain? If you're constantly working out ways to make your business better, what about your relationships? What are you doing every day to make them better? If you just exist through a relationship and hope it's going to be exciting and lustful and a beautiful person to be with for the rest of your life, is it possible that because you're not thinking about ways to share with your partner how much you love them or how much you care about them or how much in lust you are with them, that the relationship can just become boring or you just exist through it because you're not looking for ways to make it exciting because your brain's not forcing you to think differently? Boredom is a really dangerous thing for your brain, because bored means I'm not stimulating my brain, which means it's rotting away. And that's probably one of the really important things that we need to remember. If we're not getting better, we're getting worse. Is it possible that if we're not getting stronger, we're getting weaker? If we're not getting smarter, we're getting dumber? If we're not getting fitter, we're becoming unfitter? If we're not keeping our body healthy, fit and strong, it's getting weaker and sicker and older really fast. We don't get to stay the same. If we're not forcing our body to change, it will just go backwards. So any challenge that comes along, be the person that wants to provide the solution, find the answer, sort out the problem. If you rely on other people to help you, is it possible that that reliance then makes you weak and soft? Interesting things to consider. So whether it's in your own business, in the business that you work in, what are you doing on a day-to-day basis with your career path, for example, to learn, to study, to train, to get better at what you do? in your relationships? What are you doing to make that relationship better and more exciting and more interesting and more fun every single day? With your wealth creation plan, what are you doing to become better at money management, to become wealthier? If you just accept this is my financial situation rather than thinking, and I always ask that great question, you could say, I can't afford it, and your brain just shuts down. As soon as you say, I can't do it, what happens to your brain's ability to find a solution? But if you say, how can I afford it? Now you've got to push your brain. And if you're pushing your brain, then of course it's going to get stronger. It's going to get tougher. It's going to become wiser, because the more experiences that you have and the more solutions that you overcome and the more problems that you find a solution for, obviously your brain has to get better and better. Then there's the really interesting simple things to do to have a strong brain, which is all about learning. If we learn something, obviously our brain has to change. So if you learn a new language, the brain that you had with one language is not going to be the same brain as with two languages. It has to think differently. I remember living in Europe where I every day worked with people that could speak three or four languages, and they just swapped between them really quickly. I absolutely passionately believe that those people are really smart and much smarter than me just with my one language. You have to think differently, obviously, if your brain keeps swapping between languages. What about a martial art? If you go from a coloured belt to a black belt to a first dan, second dan, third dan, fifth dan, etc., you have to learn things physically and mentally to get smarter and wiser at your martial art. So the brain of a fifth dan martial artist, black belt, fifth degree, is going to be different than somebody that's just a white or a yellow belt, because they've learned a whole heap more stuff. They've pushed their body physically and mentally through a whole heap more experiences. And the interesting thing with patterns and katas, you have to remember them. And every time you go up a belt, you have to remember the kata or the pattern from the belt before and the new one. So your brain keeps getting smarter. You have to learn more stuff. So you're pushing your brain, overloading your brain to learn. If you're an athlete, if you learn the plays, if you learn not just what you have to do on your team, but you learn what all the other players have to do so it can help them get better. If you're an artist, if you're a musician, yes, you have to learn music and yes, you have to learn lyrics, but why not learn as many as you possibly can? Here's a great way to grow your brain. All of your favorite songs, learn the lyrics. It's easy to download the lyrics. You'll find them somewhere. Why not learn the lyrics off by heart of all of your favorite songs? If you've got 100 favorite songs and you don't know the lyrics now, and in 6 months' time you know the lyrics to all of those songs, will you have the same brain? And of course the neuroscientists will share no. Your brain has now learnt more stuff. Always share with my max exercise professionals, your anatomy and physiology, it's so in-depth and so interesting. The human body systems are so incredibly interesting. As an exercise professional, wouldn't you want to learn them? Ha ha! And if you learn them and you keep learning more about each energy system, each body system, how it functions, how it works, what's going to happen to your brain? A person that doesn't know anything about anatomy and physiology, who then goes through the MAX program and learns their anatomy and physiology and how the body works, their brain is different at the end of that program. So what are you learning? What ongoing training are you doing for your brain? What are you memorizing? So yes, words to songs. Yes, patterns and katas. What about dance steps? There's so many different dances in the world. And if you want to, doesn't matter where you go, what social event, if you're a really good dancer, it's pretty impressive. But there's all different kinds of dances and you have to learn the steps to those dances. So if you learn eight new dance, different styles of dance, obviously your brain's going to be different. Then there's puzzles. There's anything that forces your brain to think differently than it is right now. What are you doing every day to force your brain to think more, think deeper, think differently? Whatever your opinion is one of the big challenges with communication. When we chat to people, we share our opinion. But how can we learn about other people and other things if we're just sprouting our own opinion? So instead of telling people what we believe and what we think is important, What if we ask other people, what do you think and why do you believe that and why do you think that's important? And is it possible that if we ask questions like that, we might learn more stuff? And if we learn more stuff, what happens to our brain? What happens to our mental toughness? What happens to our mental strength? Because we're increasing the connections between the current brain cells. We're growing new brain cells. Neurogenesis means I can actually drop off my old thinking patterns and my old brain cells, let them rot away. I'm going to create new ones. And I always share very personally, my father died of Alzheimer's, a brain rotting disease. And I passionately believe there was no reason for him to die of Alzheimer's. We all accepted his diagnosis. And when I asked the brain scientist, why can't we grow new brain cells? There was an acceptance back then that we couldn't. Well, we now know that you can. You can grow new brain cells. You can change the way your brain's currently thinking. You just have to force it to. So, number one, how often do you puff and when was the last time you got really puffed? How often do you lift heavy and force your body to keep lifting so it can't lift anymore? How often do you do something physically and mentally to test your endurance, your stick-to-itness, your ability, your resilience to keep going even if you feel like stopping? How often are you overcoming challenges and forcing your brain to think differently because there is a problem in front of you, and instead of asking somebody to help you with that problem or to take somebody else's advice, are you forcing your own brain to come up with a solution? And then all the things that make our brain stronger, which are dances and puzzles and new languages and learning new stuff. If you are learning on a regular basis, is it possible that your brain can't stay the same? It has to keep growing. Isn't that exciting? Last question. When was the last time you had a gut-wrenching laugh? At my house, that's a pretty silly question because we laugh every day here. We literally laugh our backsides off. Roey, where's your backside? Gone, I've laughed it off. My father taught me when I was very young when my father shared this with me. Marry a man who is really smart and really funny. Now, that was my dad, of course. He was really smart and really funny. And I'm just very privileged to have attracted K-Man into my life who's, yes, very intelligent, but also very funny. So every single day we have more than one gut-wrenching laugh. We laugh and laugh and laugh about all sorts of things, particularly the things that make most people angry. Because if you get angry, if you get annoyed, if you get frustrated, you're just going over and over in your head the things that you already know. If you force yourself to laugh about a challenge, if you force yourself to laugh about people that are being nasty to you or horrible to you, it's a different way of thinking. And I'll share that again. Is it possible that when we think differently, our brain will change? So we laugh a lot here. And that's because of funny movies. I've got joke books still, YouTube clips, obviously hang out with funny people. But more importantly, if you think you haven't got a great sense of humor, if today you start thinking, how can I make this funny? How can I turn this negative situation into something really funny? How can I make these people laugh? Is it possible that your brain will change? You're forcing your brain to think differently. So instead of thinking negatively and looking at the terrible thing that's happened, you're forcing your brain to find something positive in this situation and to make it really funny. A gut-wrenching laugh. Now, the pure brain chemistry there, think about what happens when you laugh. The happy drugs that pump into your brain, and most importantly, there's those endorphins again, the pain-killing drugs. And one of the things that K-Man and I used to do on a regular basis when we were training people full-time, when we were personal exercise coaches, we would swap jokes at the beginning of the day so that we had a toolbox full of great jokes to share with our clients. Because if your client is laughing while they're exercising, obviously there's painkillers pumping through their brain so they can lift heavier, push harder, sprint harder. Often when I've done marathons, I've had comedians in my earphones while I'm running, because when you're laughing, you can run so much harder and so much easier because you're pumping those pain-killing drugs, endorphins, into your brain. And just as an interesting side note, there's two big ones. If you have a challenge with pain and you're in the hospital, they will give you some serious pain-killing drugs. And interestingly, they are produced by factories. They're a chemical substance. But your brain will produce them for you. If you push really hard, the harder you push, the more painkilling drugs your body will produce. And one of them is one I had never heard of before, cannabinoids, which obviously is similar or sounds a little bit like cannabis. And as we know now, the whole dope smoking, dope using culture has changed because they are now using cannabis for painkillers, particularly for people who are going through some kind of medical challenge. Well, interestingly, when you hurt yourself or when you are under pressure, when your body's under stress, your body will produce cannabinoids, and also when you're laughing. So if you want to produce pain-killing drugs to make your life easier, to make your exercise session easier, to make life more interesting, gut-wrenching laugh. And I wish you could see my face. I have a huge big smile on my face because we just, at our house, we just laugh all the time. And I'll share it again. Is it possible that if you laugh at the things that most people get angry about or annoyed about, that that would force your body to change? I will ask a very last question, however. If you lift really heavy, if you puff really hard, if you put your body under intense physical stress, you're not getting fitter or stronger while you're doing the activity. You're placing the stress, the intense activity is putting stress on your body, and that's what forces your body to change. But the actual change happens after you recover from the workout, after you recharge your muscles and bones and all of your body systems, and that happens when you're sleeping. Interestingly, the same thing happens with your brain. When you overcome a challenge, when you get good at a puzzle, when you learn a new words to a song, when you learn your anatomy and physiology, as you're learning, you actually don't produce those bigger brain cells, those better connections and those new brain cells until you're resting. So a great question, if you want to be mentally tough and mentally strong, are you sleeping deeply? Are you getting enough rest? Are you getting enough sleep so that your body is capable now of regenerating all of those cells? So yes, you've got to recuperate from your workout. You've got to recuperate from the challenge. Then you've got to regenerate, and then you super compensate. That's when you get smarter. That's when your IQ goes up. That's when your muscles and bones get stronger. That's when your body becomes a better, high-performing machine. So it's intense activity, provide the stimulus, then rest and recover. So there's those questions again. Number one, do you need to be mentally tough? Do you want to be mentally tough? Do you have an option? And I'll ask again, is it possible that as a parent, a teacher, a coach, a boss, or a leader, that you really don't have an option? If you've got people relying on you to be tough and strong, is it important that you remain tough and strong? So to make sure that you are, when was the last time you got puffed, and will you consider getting puffed on a regular basis to force your body to change? Will you lift something heavy and keep going till you can't do any more to force your body to get stronger? Will you do something of endurance, mental toughness and physical mental toughness, physical and mental endurance, which produces physical and mental toughness and strength, whether that's an Ironman or a marathon or a long distance bike race or climb a mountain or do something that is going to challenge your body mentally and physically and over a long period of time. Then are you putting yourself in a situation where you're overcoming mental challenges and providing solutions and overcoming problems on a regular basis? Are you learning and training and educating and re-educating and doing more training and education in all different areas to force your brain to stay strong? Are you having a gut-wrenching laugh on a regular basis to produce those happy drugs in your brain, which again produces brain-derived neurotrophic factor, and that's fertilizer for your brain? And are you sleeping deeply so that your body, after the intense activity and after the pressure that you put it under, it has a chance to rest and recover? Last but not least, what are you doing new? Not what have you done over and over, but will tomorrow and the next day produce something, or will you force your body and your brain to do something new, produce something new, create something new. Because new means new brain cells, new patterns in your brain, neurogenesis, neuroplasticity. So the more you do that's different, the more you push your body. When was the last time you did something that you've never done before is a really great question. So get puffed, lift heavy, overcome physical and mental endurance challenges, overcome mental challenges and force yourself to provide yourself with solutions, learn new stuff, sleep deeply, and then do new stuff. When was the last time you did something that you've never done before? And is it possible that that will create great changes in your brain? Do you need to be mentally tough and strong? Are there people in your life relying on you to be mentally tough and strong? And then are you prepared to do what it takes to have a mentally and physically tough, strong, healthy body? Is that our responsibility as adults to give our kids the living, breathing example of what it's like to be a tough, strong, healthy human being? I reckon it's a great question.